All right, guys. So, I'm gonna tell you guys my hunting honey hole in Arizona, or at least the units that I hunt. Because it's been crazy. I see all the Facebook groups that I'm part of, especially from Arizona, where are people asking for directions, asking for locations to where to hunt, to where to look for deer. And to be honest with you, not that I'm nothing wrong against these people or anything, but I've never in my entire time being on these groups, I've seen them interact with anybody in there. You know, so how do you expect to know where everything is or where to go if, one, you're not getting out there and scouting throughout the year? And not even scouting, but just go take a drive and look around. See what you see, you know? There's some areas that are going to get given where you're going to be like, well, there should be deer in here. And there's some areas that you're going to be like, there's no way in hell that any deer, especially bucks, are going to be in this area. But if you don't do that, you're never going to know. Another thing, you know, all these Facebook groups that have these hunting Facebook groups and whatnot, if you pay attention to them, you will get an idea, at least, of where people are hunting, where people are finding animals, and where people are not finding animals. Maybe you're not gonna see where a trophy buck is, because people that hunt for those big monster legends ain't gonna tell you where they at. But at least you know where where deer are at, so you can have an idea. But with that said, I am going to tell you my honey hole so that we can avoid all these situations, because it's crazy. I mean, we're hunters, we're a community of people helping each other, right? So here's what I'm going to tell you. In order for you to find deer, bucks especially, because that's what we hunt here in Arizona, you're gonna have to go away from everybody. So if you see everybody in their little camping spots, or their camping sites, or little tents, or anything like that, then you can't be in there, okay? You can't. You gotta go away from there. You gotta go to at least a mile away from where they at. You can't expect to drive on the roads and for deer to pop up in front of you. Yeah, they pop up in front of you all year long in that same spot. It has happened to me. But the day that you're hunting, the day that you have the tag, and the day that you're legal to take a deer, they're nowhere to be found. Okay? Because they know these. They feel the pressure. They smell humans right next in your backyard. And guess what they're going to do? They're going to jump 3-4 mountains back, and they're going to go hide in their little canyon spot over there where nobody's going to bother them. And where they're going to be aware of their predators. So that's why you're not going to be successful, because you're not going to, if you plan on driving all day long and think that you're going to jump a deer here and there, it could happen. Yeah, it could happen. You could be lucky and it could happen, and you bust out a buck and gotta get out of the road, aim and shoot. But you're just gonna be one of the everybody that does that, you know? So let's see, glassing skills. You gotta have that glassing skill. You gotta go throughout the year and you gotta see what works for you. You gotta see what position works for you. if standing, sitting, kneeling, with a tripod, without a tripod, you're gonna see what makes you feel more comfortable. Because I tell you something, if you're not sitting down for at least an hour glassing mountains or looking at mountains through the binoculars, then you're not doing any glassing. You gotta do the grit process where where you break the mountain in equal square pieces. Excuse me. And then you glass all that area. You choose four very noticeable points where you said this big square from this tree to this rock to this log to this other rock. I'm gonna glass that area for 10 minutes. I'm gonna see what moves in there. If you have any trees underneath, try to look deep into the shade. So use the sun to your advantage. If the sun is giving shade to that tree on the north side of it, then that's the area that you want to be glassing, the north side of that tree. Because obviously deer are not going to be laying down on the area where it's sunny. They're going to be laying down on the area where it's shady, cool, where they can take a nap. Or what? You're going to lay down in an area where it's sunny? No, right? When you're hunting, what do? You look for the shaded area, you lay down in there, and you start glassing. So the same thing is what the bucks are doing. So if you are on the shaded area and you're looking to the sunny side of the trees, obviously you're not gonna see nothing. You gotta see the shady area. Another thing, you gotta walk, you gotta hike, you gotta get out there. You gotta cross a couple ridges, you gotta cross a couple canyons. You gotta do that. If you wanna be successful, that's what you gotta do. Arizona has been crazy the couple years. Units that you didn't used to see people, now you see a convoy of like 2-3 trailers with like 5 trucks, and then each truck has a freaking quad on them. Or now they have those freaking loud ass racers and all that crap, okay? And I mean, more power to you if you have those things. You're just making a lot more noise in the canyons and making it harder for everybody, including yourself, when you're using those things in there. Hike. Walk the canyons quietly. Don't be talking when you're doing that. You walk for a couple minutes, you stop, you use your binoculars so you can look your surroundings, look behind you, look in front of you. You walk another couple minutes, you do the same thing. You stop, you look around, you look in the canyons, you look in the shaded areas. You gotta do these, because when you're walking, all you hear is just footsteps or the wind or anything else. So you can't even hear if you're bumping deer and they're running out of there. Okay? So that's why you have to stop every so often so you can hear, see if you bumped any deer and they're going in behind the mesquite in front of you that you can't see on the other side. Okay? Don't be asking people what their hunting spots are. There's some cool people that will actually tell you. There's some other people that will give you directions to general areas, and then the other people that are gonna be dicks. That's the way it is. People, even though it's the public lands, people don't wanna share their spots. You know, I don't wanna share my spots. Why? Because I work hard all year long, taking time off work, spending my weekends doing that instead of spending with my family, so that I can find the spot. So when it's my hunt, I'm able to go in there and I know that I'm gonna find what I'm looking for, harvest it, bring it home, and relax, you know. So to somebody that doesn't do that for X, Y, and Z, even if you don't have time because you work too hard and you overwork yourself, you have
family duties or whatever the case might be that you cannot go scout throughout the whole year, and then you just want to take what other people have worked hard. See, this is what is messed up with this generation, you know, like, it's, we're entitled people, so just because I bought a tag and I bought this, we expect other people to give us directions and locations of where the deer that they have harvested in the past, because of the time and effort that they have put in into their hunt. Now, you think that you're entitled to receive the same knowledge that they have. But that knowledge is just going to come over time from you, from your successful and your unsuccessful hunt. Because, best believe, there's going to be some unsuccessful hunts. I've had them. Ain't nothing to worry about that, because guess what? I've learned from them. I've seen my mistakes. I've seen spots that I will never step on again because there's nothing. I've seen spots that there's plenty. And then I see spots where they're growing. So that's the advantage that you take. Pride in yourself, that you know that you found that spot by your own means, by your own skills, which it's just going to be trial and error. Trial and error, just like everything else. You got to put some work. You got to hike. You put some hiking boots. Go walk around. Even on your weekends when there's no hunting season, take the family with you. If you have the family with you, take your family with you. Take a little stroll to the hike. Even if it's an area that you don't hunt or that you can't hunt, but the canyons behind it are, you at least have are going to have an idea on what class of type of animals are there, what is in your surroundings, you know. But if you expect to be at home all year round, not interact in any hunting groups, and then when hunting season comes and it's like less than 72 hours for opening day to begin, and you're on your, you know, hunting groups that you've never spoken since you've joined, and now you want to ask for help on the hunt that you have, I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair for all the hunters that spend thousands of hours and thousands of dollars. I'm saying thousands because it is dragging. It is crazy. You will not believe how much time I spend on the mountains, on trail cameras, hiking, just on glassing. One day alone, I drive probably an hour to the spot, hike for another 30 minutes, and then spend 3 hours sitting down on a hard rock where my ass is flat and fucked up from sitting down in there, not moving, glassing rocks and trees. I tell these to people and they're like, "The fuck is wrong with you? Why would you do that? Why would you sit down in there and look at rocks?" And I'm like, because any given rock can freaking transform into a freaking great ghost coos or a giant mule deer. And that's why I do it, because I want to clean that grid so they know that I, all that grid, I didn't see nothing. Then I move to the other grid. Check that one out. Check the trees in the bottom of it. Well, at the same time, I'm glassing the canyon underneath me. That washes across, you know, the canyons, and doing some long range glassing. That's what you need to do if you want to be successful. I cannot promise you that you will have a 120 inch coos or a 180 or 190 inch muley, but you will have the experience. You will have the experience, and you will gain the experience of how that unit is, what it looks like in there, what areas can you hunt and what areas can you not hunt, what type of deer and what class of bucks you're looking in that area. And if they give you the opportunity and they cross your sights, then, you know, you're lucky enough to harvest that animal. If not, you gained the knowledge of that unit. Now you know what to expect for next year.
okay? And not that, you know, you'll be successful next year either, but or not successful, but at least you'll know. So if you invest your time in one unit and not stop bouncing around from back and forth from different units, invest your time on one unit. Invest your time on a specific location. And you'll see in there. You'll see what type of deer they have, what class deer, what class of other critters are in there. Because you could literally hunt all year long in Arizona. You can go from predators, dove, quail, small game, big game, like throughout the whole year. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. You can spend the, if you have the time and money to do that, you can spend the whole year hunting. But that's what I have for you guys. Make sure you invest time. If you want to invest money on hunting, and I mean, you invested money already on your rifle, your ammo, your binoculars, your hunting gear, your camo. Why not invest time on $20 gas, $30 gas, even $40 of gas, and go to the unit where you're hunting, you know, months before you start your hunt, so that you can see what's out there. You can learn the terrain. You can figure out all these type of things. Where's private land? What's state land? What are open roads? Where are open gates? Where are closed gates? You gotta do these, guys. You got to do these. It's not about, oh, I feel entitled because I am Generation Y. Or whatever the case might be. I am a Generation Y. And I am entitled to shit. Guess why? Because I was taught that I have to work hard for whatever I want. So if I want a big buck, guess what I'm going to do? Even after I'm in 2-3 canyons and I don't see nothing, I'm not going to come back to the place where everybody is and I'm going to go, well, the deer are over there right next to the campers over there where was my spot where I saw all these deer before the season. Why? Because do you really honestly think that the big bucks are going to be right next to the guys that are fucking drinking and partying and being loud right now? Nah. With their quads? Nah. Hell no. They're going to be canyon scene away from them. And if I am already 2 canyon scene away from those camping sites, I'm going to go 1 canyon in further. And I'm going to glass that area. And I'm going to see what I find in there. And if I don't like what I find or I don't find anything, then I'm going to go to the other canyon and I'm going to keep going until I know, okay, this is as far as I'll go because this is as far as my body can withstand. And that's what you need to do. That's what you need to understand, that all these people, all these hunters out there that are invested in these, that have their little honey holes, that have spent money, time, effort, everything. They have done all that. They have done all the trial and error to figure out where is where they're going to hunt. You know, like, you got to do it. I cannot emphasize that a lot. You got to do it. There's a lot of animals in Arizona. There's some mean ass trophies in here. You got to find them. You got to find them. But how do you find them? By asking questions on social media? They're going to laugh at you and they're going to think, why is this guy asking these questions when I have invested my whole time and I'm going to come in here and I'm just going to tell this guy exactly where to go and what to do and where to sit down so that he can kill the 110-inch coos or the 160-inch muley that I've been tracking all year long and put all this money into gas, put all this time and effort into finding it, but I'm going to give it to him because he deserves it because he's a new hunter. Nah, we support all the new hunters. We welcome all the new hunters and we would love a big ass hunting community. We do. We love it. But with that, you gotta earn your keep, boy. You gotta earn your keep. It's like everything. What happens when you're a rookie cop? You gotta get the shitty shift, right? You gotta do the things that the sergeant and the lieutenant are not gonna do. What happens when you get into a maintenance position and you're the new maintenance boy? Guess what happens? You're gonna get the shitty job. You're gonna get the thing that nobody wants to do. You gotta get the thing that everybody went through already. So that you can move up to where the other person people are. Same thing goes for hunting. Same exact thing goes for hunting. You gotta start somewhere so that you can be up here where everybody else that have done that are now. You know, everybody started like you. Everybody started with nothing. I started with nothing. I remember when I started researching the unit that I hunt now, and I didn't even know where to start. I'll be honest with you, I did not know where to start. I was like, there's so much land in here, I don't know where to put steps on. But guess what? I wasted a lot of time, a lot of trail cam pictures and a lot of batteries and all kinds of things that I've wasted just putting trail cams and glassing places that I've never seen deer. But guess what happened? I've never set foot in those places again. Why? Because now I had the knowledge that I spent the whole day in here. I spent 2 months worth of trail cam pictures in that same spot, and I did not get not one thing that was what I was looking for. So then it was safely for me to say, I can move on from here and go to my next area, my next grid, or my next little spot or whatever, and look at that spot. And did the same thing, set up some trail cameras, or I just went hiking on the weekends to see what I would bust out. And I'm not telling you that you go and purposely scare animals away, but just go hike. Go hike at the areas, and you'll see anything that pops out in there. If there's anything in there that pops out, you know, it's gonna come out. And you'll see it, and you'll have an idea on what is in there. Find out, you know, you can go online and find out what, you know, if it's private forestry, public land, whatever that type of land is, you know. And I'll post a link on the bottom in there where you can check the website that I use so that I can check that out. As well as you can get Onyx Maps or any of those paid subscriptions so you can get land ownership and all that kind of stuff. You gotta find land ownership. That is the most important part, because that is what will dictate you where you can hunt and where you cannot hunt. Once you have that out of the way, then you can move into, okay, now I need to find areas where I am willing to hike and put some time into glassing, put some time into finding food source, water source, bedding sources, all that kind of stuff, shade, you know, cover, all that. Then you're gonna have another area where you're gonna be like, okay, well, is there any sign that this area is hunted a lot? Is there any sign that people can come to here? If there's a road in there that you were able to get access to, guess what? Everybody else, 90% of the other hunters that hunt that unit know that area, and they will be in there. So if you can get there in your car easily, the other people can too. Just remember that. If you can get there easily, they will too. You gotta find those hard spots that are... People are not willing to walk nowadays. People are not willing to hike nowadays. People are not willing to explode their body and their adrenaline and push their limits so that they can find what they're looking for. People nowadays are, well, I'm gonna drive in my truck or my quad on these roads, and I'm gonna look on the side in here, see if I find anything so that I can kill it, put it in my quad, go back to the car, and go home. And I'm willing to do the effort. Let me tell you a story. A couple years ago, me and my dad were hunting one of the units out here, and it was the second day, and we had found this deer. It was up on the hill, 389 yards away from us. And so he set up. He was the one that had the tag. He set up. I'm, you know, looking in with my binoculars. In the other hand, I have my rangefinder, and I'm ranging him. He's setting up with his tripod. He's looking. So I tell him, 388. He's like, all right. So he set up. He said, I'm going to shoot. I was like, go for it. He sends a shot. Nothing. It goes on top, I think. So I was like, nothing. So he loads up again. And he aims. And he's like, okay, I'm shooting, you know. I'm shooting again. So he shots, he drops that buck. Starts kicking like crazy. I'm looking at him through the binoculars. He's kicking. My dad's all happy. We looked at each other. We start hugging each other. We said, hell yeah, second day. We're going to enjoy our weekend. We're going to go get this thing, and we're going to be out of here. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 4:20 in the afternoon. And it was a chilly afternoon. It looked like it was about to snow. So we look up and we see the thing kicking on the floor, not standing up. So I turn around, hug my dad. We said, okay, we're going to go around this area. We're going to go around the back so that we don't scare anything in there, blah, blah, blah. So we start hiking. We get up there about, you know, 10 minutes later, 300, 400 yards uphill. So we're there 10 minutes later. There is nothing in there. The only thing there is a big pile of blood. But there's no buck. Guess what happened? We got too excited. And we started hugging and congratulating each other. And we didn't pay attention where that buck went. Instead of one of us keeping an eye on the buck while the other one was hiking up, we both said, let's go up there and find our deer and bring it home. Well, we didn't find shit. Blood. For 3 days, we spent looking in there. That night, and then we came back 2 more days to the same spot to look for that buck on the washes, to look for that buck everywhere. But he had snowed already that night. So all the blood trail that was there was gone. There was nothing for us to find. We were depressed. We were upset with each other because of that reason. So the last day of that hunt, we said, we're going to go out there and we're going to hike those three mountains back there. And we're going to stay out there away from everybody and we're going to find a buck. And that's what we did. We hike a couple mountains down, and we stayed out there in the middle of nowhere. And we started seeing deer. We started seeing a bunch of animals, you know, does and little bucks here and there. When we find the buck that we were wanting, we waited in there. We got to our spot where we were glassing, our glassing point. We got there. It was probably 6 in the morning. By 9:30... We had already found the buck that we wanted to get. And we said, well, we're going to wait. We're going to see where he beds. We waited until about 2 o'clock when we saw him bedded down. And he went for it. I stayed in there glassing. He went down the canyon, up the mountain. And when he went up the mountain, somehow they heard him when he jumped the fence, that he spooked him away. He spooked the bucks away and he didn't even give him a shot. So he came back up to the mountain where I was at, all depressed, because he said, well, we missed our opportunity. It's the last day. Oh, well, this and that. So he came back to the spot where I was. We sat down in there for a little bit. I think we even took a couple naps in there, to be honest with you. But, I mean, what can you do? You know, you're up there all day glassing. You get tired from sitting down on the rock, looking through some glasses. Your eyes are hurting. You can't even see straight. Your back is hurting. Your arms are hurting. It's a freaking workout. But anyways, it's about 4 o'clock. We're packing all our shit, defeated. We're ready to leave. And, you know, it's winter, so it's, you know, mid-November, somewhere in there. So by 5:45, then, you know, the sun goes down. So I said, okay, let me glass for a couple times before we leave. So I start glassing, boom, 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 start popping out. You know, I'm like, there's the same herd. They're coming down. They're coming down. So then he starts setting up. He's like, I'm going to go to these oak in here, and I'm going to set up. He's like, they're coming down over here. I was like, all right. So I start seeing, and I was like, okay, so they're the same bucks that you were chasing over there. So bucks start coming down. They start coming down. They go to about, I'm with my rangefinder, and I'm like, okay, well, they're 200 yards. They're 180 yards. They're 170 yards. Bam! Then I hear just a loud bang. So he dropped that animal on its feet right there. He was walking down the canyon, and that's where he ended. And he wanted to shoot the other one because he thought he hadn't killed him. You know, he started looking for the other one. Like, no, wait, I'm looking in here. He's not standing up. But this time, I learned my lesson, and I did not lose sight of that animal until he was looking at it again. We saw that freaking thing move one ear, and he freaking loaded another shot on him. I shit you not. He loaded another bullet inside him there. He's like, oh, it's moving. It's going to get up. Boom. He was like, I ain't not going to let this buck go from here. It was funny. I love my dad. But this time, he stayed up the hill. He stayed with his rifle pointing at the, you know, animal, looking, make sure that, you know, it was not moving, while I started climbing down. I started climbing down. I went to the little hill area where the buck was. I started looking for him, and boom. What do I see? I see this majestic, you know, big animal on the floor. And it was like a big fork. It was not even, you know, a trophy deer, but it was our trophy. It was our buck. Why? Because that was the last day of the season. We had struggled all day to find it, and it was right there in front of us, harvested by us, by our efforts. It was 4:20 when we got to the animal, and we started cleaning him up. We started gutting him out. We came out those canyons at night, okay? It was nighttime with a flashlight and a deer in our backs. It was crazy. We got back to our car at 8:30 at night. And then we still had a 2-hour drive to our house. But guess what? We learned our lesson. We worked hard for it. And we were successful. So with that said, that is my honey hole for you guys. Please share these with every new hunter out there. And let them know that these are the things that they need to understand. These are the things that they need to do in order for them to be successful with their trophy, okay? And remember, the memories that you do and the actual hunting experience that you learn from it, that's the real trophy. The experience that you're going to get from it. The animal, the harvest of an animal, is just the extra pudding on that cake. All right? Y'all, people, hunt hard. And wish you the best of luck to all of you guys, all the more experienced hunters out there, because I know there's a lot of more people out there that are way more experienced than I am. I'm just in learning cliff in here. So if any of you guys have any more insight, you know, or you know, any help, just shoot me a message, shoot me in something in the comments. I would like to hear your guys' story. Y'all new hunters, welcome to our community of hunting. You know, I would like for you guys to to sit down and analyze everything that you guys see in the groups. Take a few minutes. Go on YouTube. Find the videos of the people hunting in there. Or go on the hunting groups and see what they're doing. See what type of hunting style they use. Spot and stalk, sitting on water. What is it that they do? You know, that way you'll find your tribe and you'll see what you like to do. You know, is it that you like to hike like freaking a bull and hike up the mountains with a pack out in your back and you know, find your animals like that? Or is it that you want to sit on water? Or is it that you want to do spot the animals 1,000 yards away and then, you know, spot and stalk until you get to within range of shooting? Find what you like to do and go from there. And like I said, invest your time. I guarantee you that a lot of all these experienced hunters, if they see that you've been putting work and you've been hiking and you've been doing crazy things to find animals and you don't find anything, I guarantee you that they'll be more glad to help you than to help somebody that hasn't even freaking, that we don't even know on any of these Facebook groups. Why? Because we know that this person has been putting time and effort into finding animals and he hasn't had time, or she hasn't had time, or she hasn't had the luck to find them. I guarantee you, more experienced hunters or the OGs of the hunting community will be gladly to at least give you a hint or something on where to go. Alright guys, well, hope you guys have a great day. It's really cloudy in here. Looks like it's about to start pouring and snowing right now. But it's gonna affect my hunt here coming soon, but it's okay. Guess what? Because now I will have a learning experience if I get to harvest a buck or not. Alright guys, thank you. Have a good day. Talk to you soon. Make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel so you can get more little hints in here of what we do. Raw Arizona, baby. See you later.